Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2428, with a release date of Friday, May 10th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams help a victim of human trafficking in India. The popular Green Cube satellite is saved for amateur radio use. And the newest vehicle for Morse code is one with four-wheel drive. All this and more is Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2428 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to India, where hams played a key role in the return home of a woman abducted 5 years earlier by a human trafficking ring. We have that story from Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
A woman in India who had been abducted and sold into the illegal sex trade in Delhi by a human trafficking ring is safely home after a five-year absence after the government of India and Bangladesh combined their efforts with amateur radio operators in West Bengal. Reports in the Indo-Asian News Service and the Times of India said the woman was 21 years old when she was taken to Delhi by a friend who said she knew of an opportunity she might be interested in. According to media accounts, the two people accompanying the woman were later discovered to be Bangladeshi operatives who forced the abducted woman into a life of abuse and regular torture. The woman escaped and fled to Kolkata after 4 months and was taken in by a state-affiliated shelter for people who have suffered trauma and abuse. She underwent treatment for memory loss, and once she could recall the abduction, officials contacted the West Bengal Radio Club, which authorities credit with success in aiding missing person cases through the club's wide network of contacts. The club's secretary, Amraj Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, distributed photos of the woman to ham clubs throughout Bangladesh. He also notified Delhi police, who were able to track down and arrest the trio involved in the earlier abduction. The repatriation process from India back to Bangladesh began soon afterward. According to local media, the woman was among 19 Bangladeshi nationals who were survivors of trafficking and were recently returned to their homes. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Threatened earlier this year with having its digipeater decommissioned, the Green Cube satellite has been saved for amateur radio. We hear those details from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
AMSAT Italia has announced that it has acquired an interest in the satellite known as Green Cube, a collaborative move that will save it from scheduled decommissioning. Known as IO117, the satellite's original mission was to conduct experiments with plant cultivation in space. Launched in 2022, it carried an onboard digipeater that gave Green Cube the distinction of being the first medium Earth orbit amateur radio satellite. Earlier this year, the Italian Space Agency announced that the digipeater was to be decommissioned. Those plans sparked drives for a petition and a letter from AMSAT's President Robert Bankston, KE4AL, to preserve amateur radio use of the popular satellite. With this new arrangement in place, Green Cube will be operated jointly by AMSAT Italia and Sapienza Space Systems and Space Surveillance Laboratory. According to an announcement carried by AMSAT News Service, legal responsibility for Green Cube now transfers to AMSAT Italia from the Italian Space Agency. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
If you're starting to pack your bags to head to Xenia, Ohio for Hamvention, and you're a new D-Star user, there are a number of things you could consider adding to your already busy schedule. New D-Star users may want to attend the D-Star InfoCon. It begins on Thursday, May 16th, with a meet and greet, followed by a full day of information and activities on Friday, May 17th. InfoCon will take place at the Drury Inn in North Dayton. Meanwhile, also on May 17th, Tucson Amateur Packet Radio, or Tapper, will be hosting a forum with topics that include frequency control for next-generation SDRs and using EZDV to get on the air with digital voice. There will be a presentation by Hyomin Kim, KD2MCR, one of the founders of the Citizens Science Group, HAMSCI. He will introduce the Tapper HAMSCI magnetometer. One of the most popular side trips of the weekend, the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting will have extended hours from May 16th through to May 19th. The amateur radio station of the Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA, will be on the air. For details about D-Star InfoCon, the Tapper Forum, or the museum, see the links in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. If you were a part of the solar eclipse QSO parties conducted by HAMSCI, the Citizens Science Research Group, one of the most exciting things Hamvention is offering may well be the initial findings from the fall 2023 and spring 2024 eclipses, as we hear from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Nathaniel Frisell, W2NAF, will be at Hamvention sharing HAMSCI's earliest results from data collected during the two recent solar eclipses over North America. He will be talking at the HAMSCI Forum as well as the Hamvention Antenna Forum. There is an opportunity to hear him and learn more about HAMSCI's related projects by visiting booth 5008 in the Hertz building at Hamvention. HAMSCI will also be hosting the HAMSCI Forum and conducting different presentations at the Aris Yoda event. The weekend's busy agenda will also include a closer look at the HAMSCI Personal Space Weather Station. For details, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
A company based in Seattle, Washington, has achieved an unprecedented long-distance connection in space with a satellite via Bluetooth technology. George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU, has the details.
Using a software patch upgrade for some off-the-shelf Bluetooth chips, the Hubble network in Seattle has achieved what it calls the first low-power Bluetooth connection with a satellite orbiting the Earth. The signals traveled a distance of more than 600 kilometers or 370 miles, prompting Hubble's CEO and co-founder, Alex Haro, to say in a recent press release that the Seattle company had clearly debunked skeptics' belief that such a feat was impossible. A press release from the company this month heralded the achievement as a critical validation for the company, potentially opening the door to connecting millions more devices anywhere in the world. Hubble Network said it began receiving signals shortly after the satellite's launch in March. Hubble hopes it will be able to present an option for communications with global coverage, creating less battery drain and lowering operating costs. This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
A Kingman, Arizona radio club had been worried that the balloon they launched a year ago was lost for good. Instead, it's marking a full year in orbit this month, as Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, tells us.
There was good news in late April for the WB6RER Pico balloon that is about to mark its first year of circling the Earth. Its weak signals were picked up by VK5ARG and VK7JJ. Both Australian stations copied the telemetry being transmitted by its 20-meter Whisper beacon. The Hualapai Amateur Radio Club launched the balloon a year ago from Arizona on May 19th. Traveling at an altitude of about 50,000 feet, the balloon has orbited the Earth at least a dozen times since. Reaching that important first birthday hasn't been without some struggles. The beacon's transmissions became compromised after the lower half of the balloon's 20-meter dipole sustained some damage a few months into the journey. The number of spots from Whisper stations dropped off. The club wrote on one of the forums on QRZ.com that the absence of spotting in the southern hemisphere over a two-month period had convinced the club that the balloon's journey had ended, at least until the stations in Australia received reports on the 20th of April. Now, as its journey takes the balloon east toward South America again, there may be some more radio silence. But at least, this time, the club knows the balloon will have completed its first year in flight. It may yet have other hydrogen-filled adventures ahead. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6, ITB.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the NM5 EM repeater in Grants, New Mexico, on Thursdays at 8 p.m. local time. It's May, and that brings us closer to the deadline, this time for this year's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Let Newsline know of any promising young amateurs who are deserving of this honor. Candidates must live in the continental United States, be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will, no doubt, go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close on May 31st. In the United States, the third Saturday in May is observed as Armed Forces Day, a day of tribute to the U.S. military. One club in New York is marking the occasion with a special event activation from an aviation museum on Long Island. This event honors the first black aviators in the U.S. Armed Forces, the Tuskegee Airmen. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, has that story.
The Tuskegee Airmen broke new ground in the United States Army Air Corps, the branch of service which was later to become the U.S. Air Force. They were black military aviators, a first for the Army Air Corps, and they trained in Alabama at the Tuskegee Army Airfield in preparation for combat service in the Second World War over Europe and North Africa. The Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club is honoring the airmen's distinguished service with a special event activation on the 18th of May, starting at 1300 UTC and ending at 2030 UTC. Hams will be operating from the American Air Power Museum in Farmingdale on 10, 15, 20, and 40 meters using CW, single sideband, and FT8. The site is an appropriate one. The museum is now home to many of the retired warbirds that were dispatched into the skies in times of conflict. Hams who contact station W2GSB, the club's call sign, will be eligible for a downloadable certificate. Logs will also be uploaded to Logbook of the World. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
China's lunar lander is on a mission to bring home samples from the dark side of the moon, and it's using a special satellite to solve communications challenges. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, brings us an update.
China's Chang'e 6 mission to the far side of the moon began its 53-day mission with a launch on Friday the 3rd of May. The mission contains a lander spacecraft that's expected to drill into the lunar surface near the Apollo crater, scooping and collecting samples that will be brought to Earth in the mission's re-entry capsule. A relay satellite in a specialized lunar orbit was launched earlier this year by China to serve as a bridge between the moon's far side and the Earth. The satellite is expected to be part of China's lunar missions in 2026 and 2028. China's space program hopes to eventually have a constellation of such communications satellites for use with missions that will have crews on board. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
A record-breaking, well-decorated U.S. aviator has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
Dick Rutan, KB6LQS, a decorated U.S. Air Force pilot and an aviation record setter, became a silent key on Friday, the 3rd of May. Dick, who joined the military as a teenager, had a distinguished service during the Vietnam War that included more than 300 combat missions. He is perhaps just as well known for setting a flight endurance record as co-pilot of a non-stop, non-refueled flight around the world in 1986. The Voyager aircraft, which Dick helped construct, was designed by his brother Bert. Dick, who had been hospitalized in Idaho with a severe lung infection, was 85. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
In the world of DX, listen for Tim, N5TCH, operating holiday style as V4/N5TCH from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104, until the 17th of May. QSL only by Logbook of the World. Listen for special event station A91WTIS from the 11th through to the 17th of May in observance of World Telecommunication and Information Society Day, which marks the founding of the International Telecommunications Union, QSL via EC6DX. The special call sign HF25NATO is active until the 31st of August, marking the 25th anniversary of Poland joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Certificates and limited edition QSL cards are available. Visit QRZ.com for details. Members of Club Radio Dernal, ON4CRD, are on the air as OR90AL until the 31st of May, marking 90 years since the death of Albert I, King of the Belgians. QSL via the Bureau. If you think you can't operate mobile CW unless you have a radio and unless you also know the code, think again. Some automobiles on the market are making mobile CW operating easier than ever. Almost effortless, in fact, as we hear from Dave Parks, WB8, ODF.
It seems that in the last few years, operating mobile CW hasn't even required an amateur radio license. Or so it seems. If you look at the way car makers have embraced Morse code as an automotive design element. In the summer of 2022, models of Jeep vehicles featured the DIT and the DA across the front grille. Jeep's Dubai-based ad agency publicizes, Dubai explained that by sporting these CW symbols up front, Jeep owners could feel a sense of community and a spirit of adventure in remote off-road places. This bold gesture followed by a more subtle use of CW by the same car maker 4 years earlier. The 2018 Jeep Compass featured code on the driver's left footrest in a message spelling out sand, snow, rivers, rocks, all familiar Jeep uncharted terrain. Not to be left behind in the off-road dust, Hyundai has recently put four illuminated DITs on its steering wheel. CW for the letter H. The code began appearing in new models such as the Santa Fe, the Kona, and Hyundai's electric SUV, the Ioniq. Now the Toyota Tacoma is getting into the traffic jam. This year's SUV has Morse code symbols appear on the side panel of the dashboard. The code provides directions to a way in which car owners can find plans to build their own 3D printed automotive accessories. So far as we know, those instructions still don't include the most necessary element, printing a ham radio license for mobile CW operation. Drivers will still have to earn that the old-fashioned way. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
We challenge you, our listeners, to accept our challenge. Write a haiku that shows how you feel about all that time you spend on the air. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku format. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, AMSAT Italia, AMSAT News Service, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, 425 DX News, the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, HamSci, History.com, The Hubble Network, Jalopnik, Motor Trend, QRZ.com, Reuters, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space News, Stars and Stripes, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.